I'm Indy Todd. Welcome to The Point. Today it's Bird News with Mark Faraday, Science Coordinator at Mass Audubon's Wellfleet Bay Wildlife Sanctuary. Good morning.
Good morning.
And, you know, we've had a little bit of stormy weather, and there's always some interesting things happening when it's stormy. Our feeders get really busy.
All kinds of things happen. Your feeders get busy, like you said, because all of a sudden the ground's covered up and they can't get at the leaf litter as easily. A lot of these birds that are overwintering, they're pretty good at finding insects in the leaf litter. And if you go out in the dead of winter and dig around, you can find, you know, pill bugs, you know, isopods, mm-hmm. and all kinds of things, little wood roaches. There's a lot of insect activity if you just flip things over in the winter. And birds like Carolina wrens know that, and that's what gets them through the winter. They're not depending on bird seed. But, you know, that all gets covered up and gets a little harder to find cocoons and spiders and things that they're normally feeding on, and so then they're at your suet. Mm-hmm. And I know I see the Carolina wrens in my yard more often when there's snow or it gets really cold.
I love the Carolina wrens. There's just something about them. They're just so darn cute. And that little call they have, I love them.
Oh, they have a ton of personality, and they sound like they have a megaphone. You know, there's this tiny little bird, and you can hear them from miles away. And they're always, you know, they're in pairs year-round, and they always seem to be kind of arguing, you know, like an old married couple. They kind of duet back and forth, making all these scoldy sounds. And
well, I think there was a Carolina wren actually scolding me. And this was last year in the spring when I'm in my...
What did you do?
I'm in the garden, and it was on the post, the fence near the garden, and it was telling me, I think the bird feeder is empty, and you need to get over there and fill it now, please.
Yeah, that's a classic.
So usually when we have stormy weather like that, and if you're watching the feeders, this would be a time where you might see something that you don't usually see at your feeder.
All kinds of things have been turning up. You know, you think that it's at this point in the winter, you would think that the birds, the weird birds that are out there would have been found by now. And, you know, they're either gone or they're settled in at someone's feeder for the winter. But I keep getting these reports. Somebody walked into the Bird Watchers General Store in Orleans was the story I heard. I was trying to figure out how this bird came to light. And showed Mike O'Connor a picture of this crazy bird at their feet. It was a painted bunting in East Orleans, a male. And I've talked about them before, and it's just hard to find words to describe
this. Very colorful.
Go, you know, Google an image of this bird, just unbelievably, shimmeringly colorful, all kinds of red and green and blue. It just doesn't look like it belongs, especially in winter. I mean, even in summer, this bird would look out of place in Massachusetts. And there were some other birders I know from Plymouth happened to be in the store at that time, and so they asked if they could go over, and then the word got out, and it was just coming to this feeder in East Orleans, and it's been coming for about 3 weeks. So where it was before that, I don't know. You know, somebody's feeder that wasn't paying much attention or something. You know, this is just an LSD kind of hallucination
of a
bird.
You got a picture of it.
Yeah, I lucked out when I went to see it. It switched to a different house where the feeder was pretty close to the road, so I got some nice photos, which is great. And it's just one of those treats, and so people have been flocking there, as they do, birders. And the homeowners, it's different in every case, and it's sort of the obligation of the first birder on the scene, right? They have to have this negotiation with the homeowner.
Is it okay?
Are you willing to have hordes of people with long lens camera, you know, just storming your neighborhood, basically? Are your neighbors going to be okay with that? What's the parking situation? That sort of stuff. And so that all gets negotiated. And these people are like, yeah, it's great. And you can see it from the road. So it works out nicely. It's not always like that.
Yeah.
There's another bird. There's a less flashy, but a beautiful plumaged yellow-rumped warbler of the western persuasion, which is actually really rare. I mean, we know yellow-rumped warblers. That's our kind of winter, late fall and winter warbler that sticks around, and they're in the sort of drab plumage, and they'll show up at suet feeders, and they eat a lot of bayberries and like cedar fruits gets them through the winter. But there's a western subspecies, which is really rare here. It's Audubon's yellow-rumped warbler. And this bird is beautiful, visiting a house in North Truro, coming into the feeders occasionally. It's bright yellow throat. It's in like full breeding plumage, which is very strange for February.
Mm.
And that bird just showed up within the last, you know, couple of weeks. So, you know, where was he?
Yeah, and I noticed in the report of what's been cited, two yellow-breasted chats in Falmouth. Not at my house.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you only get one per lifetime. That's it. I've never had one.
You've never had one.
Still
I don't
waiting
so
for
bad.
Mine.
Right.
But yeah, the Falmouth thickets are famous, like the Town Hall thickets and along the bike path and the Woods Hole thickets. There are all these famous thickets in Falmouth that are really good for overwintering thicket birds, like a yellow-breasted chat. Which is, it's strange that there are any at all in this part of the world that should be in Central America right now. But some of them just choose Falmouth. Yep. And they hunker down in these thickets and they eat bittersweet and multiflora rose and insects, you know, that they can find, like I said, in the leaf litter and hanging around in there. And they can overwinter. Oh. And for whatever reason, Falmouth, Chatham, Orleans, places like that, they tend to be a little bit milder and have a lot of nice fruity thickets.
866-999-4626 is our number for your bird comments, questions, or stories. Maybe you've seen something interesting at your feeder. 866-999-4626. Our email address is thepoint@capeandislands.org. Also, we've had that great seabird show at Race Point continues.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just unabated. And so I think more and more people are making that long trek from the Race Point Beach parking lot out to the actual race, which is like it's a couple of miles slog and soft sand.
I like to go
the fire road out Hatches Harbor for people who are familiar with that area. And I actually took some out-of-state birders out there last Monday. We made the trek out to the race. They were wimpy. They didn't want to do the soft sand trek, so we took took Hatches Harbor. But there are a lot of good birds on that route, too. So you get out there into the deep water, and there are just common murres everywhere. I can't think of anywhere in the Northeast other than literally right at the race. Mm-hmm. Not at Herring Cove, not at Race Point Beach, but out at the actual tip, like near the lighthouse at Race Point. You can go and see common murres. You see there are dovekie paddling around. People are seeing sometimes dozens of dovekies out there.
I love the little
dozens
dovekies.
And dozens of dovekies. And then
a Pacific loon. Did you see that?
Up to three.
You did?
Just
wow.
No, not me.
Oh.
we were looking for one, but there weren't a lot of loons around on that day that we were there. The loons sort of come and go, and might be tidal, but Peter Flood had two photographed together Pacific loons, maybe even a third, which is just outrageous. I mean, that's a very rare bird. As the name implies, it's not supposed to be in the Atlantic Ocean. And very small numbers of them will show up here in the winter. There's been a king eider out there, young male king eider, which is always a sexy bird the birders want to find.
Did you see any whales?
It was very, very rough and windy. Oh. It was a tough day out there. But we got some of our, we got our common murres and dovekies and things. And then we went to Provincetown Harbor, where there's been up to three dovekies and occasionally thick-billed murres. And it's just a real treat to see it up close. And so, you get out to the race and the wind is whipping and the sea is ridiculous and there's a rip current there. So the waves, and then you go to Provincetown Harbor and it's just glassy calm. And there's the same, there's a dovekie just paddling around like a little rubber ducky. And they can come right up to the pier sometimes.
Wow. And your friends were happy. They're like, good, we're out of the wind now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I saved that for later in the day so they could kind
of
recover.
Really, that really is worth, the walk out there is really pretty. So it's a nice walk in itself. And you might, on top of seeing great birds, you might get to see some right whales.
Exactly.
It's
yeah.
A great
we were
spot.
Looking. Yeah.
All right. Joshua is giving us a call from Falmouth. Good morning, Joshua.
Good morning. How are you today?
Great. How are you?
Good. I had a cardinal question.
Sure.
We live in T-Ticket, and the day of the, right after the blizzard, we had cardinals in flocks like I have never seen before. Is that usual?
Sort of. It depends on, so in the winter, cardinals can pretty regularly get up into loose flocks of like a dozen birds. And it's sometimes, depends on where you are, but it's sometimes the best time to count them is towards dusk. I know at the sanctuary in Wellfleet, if you go to the feeders around dusk, sometimes there'll be, you'll look and there's 12 cardinals. Mm. And so they do flock up a little bit.
How many did you have?
55.
Come on.
65?
55?
55.
55, wow.
Them, they were in the tree. There was one cardinal that was calling, but all of the rest of them were just in this giant oak tree.
Hmm.
And they were scattered out. It actually looked like there were leaves on the tree. There were so many of them.
Wow. That would be a great photo.
Did you get a photo?
I tried.
Oh.
That might be a record. I've not heard of a flock of cardinals quite that big.
It was a mix of males and females, but it was mostly male.
That's wild.
And definitely cardinals. They had the crest and all that. There are other red birds that sometimes occur in big flocks.
No, these were cardinals.
That are more rare, but okay.
No doubt.
All right. Well, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
You don't do eBird by any chance, do you? I'm always trying to get people to use eBird.
No, we don't. And we have one small feeder at the house, and we have a pair, a male and female, that come every day, but I've never seen that many cardinals together.
Yeah, what a treat.
That's impressive.
Yeah, Joshua, thanks for sharing. I have heard some people saying that they're seeing some big flocks of blackbirds, different, starlings and who knows what else. And that's pretty common this time of year, isn't it?
Yeah, starlings, people group them with blackbirds, but they're not. They're basically minor birds. They're from Eurasia, and they're closely related to minor birds, and they can also talk like minor birds. But they're, I often don't pay enough attention to them because they're, they're invasive, But they migrate, too. And so this is often a time when the ones that didn't winter very far south of here, like maybe they wintered in Rhode Island or something, start coming back. And so people start seeing flocks of starlings now. And then we're getting pretty close to the beginning of spring songbird migration. Like literally we're like a week or two away from the first songbirds.
Wait, what's it mean more? We'll start hearing it in the morning again?
Well, there's that, but that's different. Those are year-round resident birds. I'm talking about birds that leave the area, songbirds that are actually will start to come back north. It's not the most exciting, it's not warblers, but like common grackles actually start trickling back to the Cape in late February.
Mm.
Red-winged blackbirds.
Red-winged
blackbirds, some percentage of them overwinter here, but most of them don't. It's a pretty rare bird on the Cape in the winter still, although they're overwintering more and more, and they start moving back north. Again, it's probably these birds that didn't winter very far south of here. We're pretty close to the northern extent of where they spend the winter. And then not songbirds, but another migrant bird that comes back in February, woodcocks.
Mm-hmm.
They'll come back, most of them will come back later in March, but you'll start to hear the first new arrivals, or maybe these were birds that overwintered. A very small number of American woodcocks will overwinter. But by late February, certainly early March, you start to get the first woodcocks.
They are a funny bird, huh?
Oh, they're the best.
Yeah, I don't know how to even describe how they just go up in the air and they make that funny little noise.
It's such a ridiculous display. It's just absurd, and it's
look
all,
at me.
Yeah, sometimes I think they're just doing it by themselves. Like there's literally no other woodcock within miles. Like some of these overwintering birds we sometimes get, and they do their meh. Me, and then they launch into the air and do this elaborate spiraling, twittering display. Oh, there it is. Dan's quick on the draw as usual.
That's funny. Yeah, it's worth seeing for sure.
There's
the little fluttering.
There's
down.
That's the bird ascending.
Yeah.
And then on the way down, there's another kind of chirping sound that comes from kind of modified feathers in their wings. It's like chirp, 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 chirp. And like how a leaf slowly back and forth goes to the ground. That's what they're doing. And then they land, and then they start it all over again.
Right. So on dusk.
All night long.
Dusk is a good time to try to get to see them because it gets a little too dark. 866-999-4626 is our toll-free number. Our email address is thepoint@capeandislands.org. We'll have more after a quick break. You're listening to The Point. It's Bird News today with Mark Faraday, Science Coordinator at Mass Audubon's Wellfleet Bay Wildlife Sanctuary. 866-999-4626 is our toll-free number for your bird stories, comments, or questions. 866-999-4626. Our email address is thepoint@capeandislands.org. All right, here I'm reading you an email. About 10 days ago, while driving home in mid-afternoon, I spied a large bird perched on a tree limb overlooking the Falmouth Country Club. I pulled over and walked closer with my son. He got close enough to see it was an owl, probably a great horn. The bird dropped out of the tree and swooped away a few feet off the ground. Why do you think an owl was out and about in broad daylight?
Yeah, it's not common for great horns anyway. What time of day? Does it say
mid-afternoon?
Mid-afternoon. Yeah, that's not... Sometimes they get active a little bit early, especially if it's overcast. On an overcast day, you can go out 2:30, 3 o'clock, you'll hear great horned owls kind of chiming in. And it's easy, even other owls like eastern screech owls, if you imitate their call on a cloudy day, the middle of the day, they'll answer you back. Mm. For some reason, on a bright, sunny day, they're too sleepy. They stay in their hole. It's just this peculiar thing with owls. I don't know if it's something, and this relates to something else I was going to talk about, if it's something where it's like the amount of daylight is causing some sort of endocrine system reaction where they just become more active because the light is dimmer.
And the great horned owls could be sitting on eggs now, right? Is this about the time?
Yeah, yeah. So they're one of the... There it is. There's one in. There's one with us right now.
Yes, in the studio.
Yeah, joining us in the studio.
And he wants to be on the
air. Great horned owl.
You know, I remember last year I had three in my neighbor. I could hear three. I never saw them, but I could hear them. I don't hear them this year, though. Not yet, anyway. Huh. Probably not going to.
Yeah, I don't know what causes them to move around. I'm lucky where I am in East Harwich. About once a month. The local great horned owls, I don't know, they're making their rounds of, you know, hooting perches, but they'll use a tree right out back, you know, right at the end of my deck. They'll sit in the top of this pitch pine and just call, and it just echoes through the house. You can hear it over the TV, you know, everything closed up. And so we're lucky to have that. We saw it fly away, you know, a couple of weeks ago
when it
came by.
Right? When you see them fly. Oh.
Yeah. But there are a lot of great horned owls on Cape Cod. They love the Cape. It's just good habitat for them. There's a lot of rabbits, a lot of food. They love kind of pitch pine oak woods like we have a lot of. And they don't mind the suburbs. And so they are very happy here on the Cape. And occasionally you get lucky and see one during the day. It's not very common, though.
Yeah. All right. Christy is giving us a call from Harwich. Hi, Christy. Christy, are you there? No? We lost Christy. All right, let's try Susan in Westport. Good morning, Susan.
We're getting a lot of crank calls this morning.
I guess we'll figure out what's going on with the phone system in there, and we'll get back to that. Eagles nest now too, right, but not on the Cape, right?
I can't say that for certain. There's actually, I've got some reports of adult bald eagles near where they were trying to nest last year in Harwich. Or Brewster. I think it's Brewster. That kind of Brewster-Harwich area. But I'm pretty sure this was Brewster. And it was a pair that took over a osprey nest last January. But then the ospreys came back and kicked them out when they came back in March or April. That was pretty remarkable to me, you know.
Yeah.
Eagles are big, tough birds. I don't know what the deal was with these eagles, but they're back in that area again. Someone sent me a photo. One was just flying along one of the Brewster beaches. This woman got a beautiful photo of this adult bald eagle. It must have been right over her head.
Wow.
Just gliding along one of the Brewster Bayside beaches there. So that's cool. I need to check on that, see if those guys are around. As I've said several times before, I have this feeling that they might be nesting in Mashpee and Mashpee Wakeby Pond somewhere in those big woods. Mm-hmm. There's just too many sightings of adults during the breeding season for them not to be at least thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been enough years that, you know, they must have at least attempted nesting by now. So it hasn't been confirmed a definite, you know, nest with eggs and chicks.
But you suspect it's happening.
They're thinking about it, and it's just a matter of time if it's not happening already. And that's another species along with great horned owls. So they both have really long nesting cycles. So they need to start nesting early in order to get their chicks fledged and sort of competent before next winter. Mm-hmm. And so they're on eggs in February,
wow.
both bald eagles and great horned owls. And so, you know, these blizzards and everything, they're sitting there. The female is just dutifully sitting there and, you know, taking all the snow and keeping those eggs warm and doing her motherly duties.
All right, Susan from Westport. Good morning, Susan.
Yes, can you hear me now?
Yes, we can hear you.
Yes.
Thank you so much. I'm calling from Westport, the far end of Massachusetts, on a little salt pond. And we've seen hundreds of starlings, major flocks of red-winged blackbirds. But my real question is, could I have seen an oyster catcher walking in my driveway, orange-footed, black body, not too fat?
Walking in your driveway, that...
Not far from the ocean.
Right, right.
Pond. I cannot identify this bird. I've tried everything.
It would be hard to misidentify an American oyster catcher. I mean, it's just... I can't imagine how you would do that. It's just a giant plover-looking bird with a huge bright orange bill and a black head and, you know, bright orange legs the size of a chicken, if not a little bit bigger, and they don't generally walk around in driveways. So I don't know. I'd like to see a photo, of course, as we always say.
Yes, it caught me by surprise. I was headed out, and I just had never seen an orange-footed bird walking down the driveway. So
yeah, it was not an oyster catcher. So they're also not around in the winter. Occasionally, you'll get, like, on the islands or
from somewhere, like once we had a dove key blown off over here.
Yeah, that definitely happens. They end up in driveways
right.
and things.
Thank you.
Yes,
sure.
Susan, thanks for the phone call. All right, Marilyn sends us a note. She says, you mentioned some red-winged blackbirds overwintering on the Cape. We live in Chatham, and we've had them all winter. In the past week, they've really increased in numbers with some starlings mixed in, and they started singing like crazy. It sounds like April out there. Also had a white-throated sparrow at our feeder during the storm last Thursday. I don't recall ever seeing them around here in the winter. Is that unusual?
Okay, so a white-throated sparrow is not especially unusual. We get them at the sanctuary, and they're around as a wintering bird. They're more common during, like, fall and spring migration. You can get pretty good numbers of them, and then some of them will stay and overwinter here and scratch around people's feeders. And then the other thing was red-winged blackbirds.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think what's been happening is we know that our winters have been getting milder, right? I mean, that's the data shows that. People's memory shows that, you know, the harbors don't freeze up the way they used to. And, you know, our winters have just been getting milder on average. And so birds have been shifting where they're able to overwinter. And I think that red-winged blackbirds are wintering further north, which means they can show up earlier. And so I've gotten other reports. People are like, there's red-winged blackbirds in my yard and they're singing and it's, you know, it seems too early. And it sort of is too early, but that's the trend. Mm. You know, things are arriving earlier. They'll take advantage of a warm spell and, you know, move back north, and then maybe they run away back south again. We get a storm. But it seems to happen earlier and earlier.
And we would see these in small flocks. We don't see like the big, like the murations we see in the fall. You don't see that this time of year, do you?
Not as much.
But you can?
No, I really think that's more of a fall thing.
Yeah.
There are more birds of all types in the fall because of all the young birds.
Mm-hmm.
So all of those, you know, nestlings and hatchlings have fledged and they're out there and they're joining the adults. And so there are never more birds on the landscape than there are in the fall. And over the winter, the young birds die, you know, a lot of them. And so the flock sizes decrease and birds kind of disperse. But in the fall, that's when there are lots and lots of birds there on the landscape. So spring is not quite the same.
866-999-4626 is our toll-free number. That's 866-999-4626. Our email address is thepoint@capeandislands.org. All right, a bizarre avian discovery in the woods of Wellfleet. What's that all about? Sounds very mysterious.
Right. So we got an email from a woman in Wellfleet who was out hiking out in the woods. Like, if you're familiar with the National Seashore in Wellfleet and Truro, there's kind of this the Wellfleet Truro line passes through these series of kettle ponds that are mostly in Wellfleet, the Wellfleet kettle ponds, and they extend into South Truro. This is on the ocean side of these towns. And it's just big, extensive national seashore woods. And she sends this picture, like, I came across this dead purple gallinule in the middle of the woods. She didn't even know if she was in Wellfleet or Truro. It was just out on some trail. And sure enough, it's a purple gallinule. So this is, you know, this is a bird that you see when you go down to Florida for your winter vacation, right? It's a bird of primarily the southern two-thirds of Florida. And, you know, they get up into Georgia and kind of peter out, but it's very much a tropical and subtropical water bird. It's related to rails, and it's closely related to coots, so sort of swamp chicken kind of MO, but just a gorgeous iridescent purple, incredibly beautiful bird.
Oh, so sad that it didn't make it.
Right, it was not a good story, but for some reason, this species is prone to fly the wrong way and end up in the Northeast on occasion. There are other records for the Cape. I've gotten calls in the past. One was walking around the shore of Great Pond in East Ham, and there was one at Mayo Beach in Wellfleet one fall, just kind of walking around. So they just fly the wrong way, and then they kind of end up in strange places. There was one on Cuttyhunk, a little tiny pond there a few years back. But just sort of file that one under. You never know what you're going to find on a hike. Just lying there, and who knows how it got there or what happened to it, but there it was.
All right, Marianne sends us an email. She says, Happy Valentine's Day, Mindy and Mark. It's hard to believe, but the Rufous hummingbird is still with us here in Falmouth. Mm. He still visits the heated feeder each morning before sunrise. Wow.
Well, she has been a great host to that bird, let me tell you. Taking great pains to make sure that the sugar water doesn't freeze up, and that's all they need. If you provide food, the temperature almost doesn't matter. If they can get enough food during the day and then they go into a torpor at night, you think about a hummingbird surviving these blizzards.
I know.
I mean,
crazy.
It's hard to go out with the dog at night, you know, and you for 3 minutes, you know, and you're like, get me back inside.
And these little tiny fragile looking birds.
These little tiny fragile looking birds are surviving the winter because they are more cold adapted than we realize. And they breed in places like coastal Alaska, the Pacific Northwest, pretty cold, wet places. And they start breeding when it's still very cold and wet. And so, you know, they can handle that as long as there's a food source. And they're good at finding little insects that come out on warm days in the winter that we're not aware of. You know, they're good at what they do. Of course, it would not survive without the feeder. I mean, it's not a natural, you know, successful overwintering.
Right.
But you know, so you can sort of argue about, you know, different philosophies of whether it makes sense or not, but it's kind of a cool thing, and they'll actually gain weight. Bander Sue Finnegan is one of only two people in Massachusetts. She lives in Brewster and bands at Wing Island at the Museum of Natural History, but she's, in addition, one of only two people in the state who is licensed to band hummingbirds. It's very different than banding other birds. It's not, you know, they're just so small and
to be so careful,
you know, different nets and different band sizes. but she has a trap that she uses, puts it around the feeder, and she's very good at it. And she's been able to band some of these different vagrant hummingbirds that have ended up on the Cape here. And you know, they will gain weight, even in this kind of weather, as long as they have access to that sugar water. And I suspect that bird will disappear sometime this month. And it won't be because it died, I mean, you know, or anything happened to it. It's because that's when they start getting migratory. Mm-hmm. So a normal Rufous hummingbird that went to the correct wintering grounds in western Mexico would start kind of getting restless and moving north sometime in February, probably. Not all of them. But so when this bird disappears, I suspect that it moved off on its own. Mm-hmm. And what happens to it after that, nobody knows. Uh-huh. Like, we generally don't see them, you know, for a second year. So, I mean, maybe they don't survive, but they can survive. The hummingbird can survive the winter on Cape Cod, and they have before if they have help, like Marianne, provided with food, yeah. Right.
All right. Nancy's giving us a call from Harwichport. Hi, Nancy.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I have a question about the Baltimore Orioles that are still at my feeders. They go to the, well, they go to the suet all the time and seeds as well. But I'm wondering if I should put some jelly out for them.
They might appreciate that. So that's very cool that you have Orioles still coming. And this is yet another winter where I'm just getting report after report of people with Orioles, Baltimore Orioles, coming to their feeders. And again, that class of birds, that they're a neotropical migrant, that almost every single one leaves. There's some Oriole song. Thank you, Dan. You might start hearing that if it successfully overwinters. Last year, one successfully overwintered at a house in Barnstable. But they're supposed to be in Central America, right? They're supposed to be in some Guatemalan rainforest or a citrus grove in Belize or something like that. But for some reason, some of these birds are just like, all right, I'll stick it out. And they survive the blizzards, and they can do okay without too much supplemental food because they can eat the fruit that's out on the landscape, like I mentioned before, things like bittersweet and cedar and multiflora rose. But you can put out jelly, and there's a woman who's been keeping me updated about her Baltimore Oriole in East Harwich, and it's partial to peanut butter. And I've seen them; they'll take.
I've been putting out suet with peanut. You know, there's different types of suet.
Mm-hmm.
One is orange, but anyway, there's one with peanut. And they do like that one.
Yeah, so give them a little jelly. And maybe add a little
peanut
bread. And make them a sandwich.
A little bread.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I've seen two pair. So
two pair?
I don't know. Yeah.
Wait, what?
And the other exciting thing is I have a lot of bluebirds. So pretty.
Oh, yeah, very cool. I was lucky to have an invasion of bluebirds in my yard within the last couple of weeks. But you're let's get back. You